Well, I join with Rick in welcoming you to service this morning. And as we turn to Scripture, let us join together in prayer. Loving God, by your Spirit, we ask this morning that you would teach us to hear and to know of the great love that you have for us through Jesus Christ, your Son, in whose name we pray. Amen. The Scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew, and I'm sure that it will be a familiar set of verses for you. When the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. And one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. "Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest?" And he said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Most of you know by now that I hold a great love for the city of Boston. And this comes from the fact that I went to college and I lived and I worked in and around the Boston area for 5 years in my early 20s. And it was during this time that I drank the red Kool-Aid and abandoned the blue and white of the Yankees. And I became a member of the Red Sox Nation, an unintended result of moving to the Boston area. And yes, if you attempt to talk with me any time in the coming weeks when the Red Sox are playing, I will probably be distracted, an intended result of having a conversation with me when they're playing. Now, one of the things that make Boston such a great city is its traditions. Maybe more than any other city that I've ever lived in, it's these traditions that seem to draw people out of their homes and create a unique community. Whether it be the singing of Sweet Caroline at every Red Sox game, or Boston Ballet's performance of the Nutcracker every Christmas, or the Boston Pops playing along the Esplanade every July 4th, to the running of the Boston Marathon every year on Patriots Day. These are some of the institutions that make Boston such a great city. And it is why also this year we were horrified to receive news alerts across our phones and on our TVs that told us that bombs had been detonated near the ending of the Boston Marathon. For those of us with a connection to Boston, we look back, remembering the times that we walked those very spots, much like the victims, just having a good time at a fun race. And it is now marred by the tragedy that we cannot get out of our minds. It is the intended result of terrorist activity. In the days following, we continued to stay peeled to our TVs, watching the pursuit of those criminals and the fear that paralyzed the city. People living in the neighboring towns were told to stay in their homes and not go out for fear of encountering the terrorists. And then as homes were searched one by one, citizens were ushered to safety out of their homes and out of their neighborhoods while the city was locked down. Watching it from hundreds of miles away, it seemed that freedom was briefly surrendered, the unintended result of the pursuit. The tragedy of the 2013 marathon is now etched into the history of Boston, alongside the midnight ride of Paul Revere, the Boston Massacre, and the beginnings of the Revolutionary War. It certainly was not the intended result of a great race. And yet more enduring than the headlines, because the headlines seem to have gone away, will be the stories that will be told of what those events meant to the people of Boston. The human stories, the I was there stories, the personal accounts. It is strange, isn't it, that every tragedy has a timeline, a sequence of events that soon fades away and gets lost in time. Even now, just a few months following the tragedy, we've largely forgotten the timeline of events. What has become more historical, far more lasting, are the stories, the life-changing stories, the unintended results of tragedy that help us to see again how much that we need each other. It seems to me that that is the most important part of those events, the great human capacity to love when love is needed. It was watching citizens run not away from the blasts, but directly into the chaos to help brother or sister. Who can forget the images of ordinary citizens keeping pressure on wounds as they raced against time to save lives? The doctors and nurses racing from the medical tent into the blast zone. It is the human capacity to love and to love people that we don't even know. Think about it. There are many things that come and go. Even great cities and nations will not last the test of time. Even the record of tragedy and crisis will soon fade away. But it is the stories that remain. The stories that affect people's lives and the impulses that we have to involve ourselves in other people's lives and the unintended results of those actions. It is those stories that I thought about this week as I prepared for today. Today is Deacon Awareness Sunday, and no, the purpose today from the deacon's perspective is not to say, look at us. Look at all the great things that we do. That could be an unintended result, but it's not what they intend. It is rather to let you know of all the things that are available to you that you can either take advantage of or maybe even involve yourself in. Or maybe even as a result of hearing about what the deacons do, you might even desire, as a result of this day, to serve as a deacon. In talking with one of the deacons last week, she told me that she enjoys being a deacon because the deacons have the opportunity to get involved in people's lives, in everything that they do. And that flows through everything as our lives are meshed together in so many intended and unintended ways. That clarity came into greater view last weekend as students reported on the trip to the Pittsburgh Project this past summer. Each year, the deacons hold a golf fundraiser that many think is a day of fun, and it is a day of fun. But the proceeds support ministry to the youth in this church in various capacities. And it was when Kyle Elphick spoke with such great poise and precision, it occurred to me how his life has been impacted by the support of the deacons. And I wonder, what were the intended and what were the unintended results of the deacon support of the youth programs? We hear of students being supported for choir tour or Pittsburgh Project, and we raise funds because we know that this is a good thing to do, and the deacons desire to support this good work. But when you hear a student speak with such strength and confidence about an experience of helping a struggling family, and he was able to see God's hand at work through a little child writing thanks, guys, with a water pistol on hot pavement. It's that kind of story that will last, an unintended result. And might I speak of the presence that he exhibited? I wonder how much of that was a product of the music programs that he has had the opportunity to be involved in and the confidence and the stage presence taught by Barb and Noel in these programs. What is intended and what is unintended by the deacon's support? Or taking this in a different direction, another deacon talked about being asked to visit somebody who was twice her age. She felt really out of place visiting a recent widow, but one visit grew into a beautiful, caring relationship that she now has incredibly fond memories of, and I'm sure impacted her in all sorts of unintended ways. I wonder if it would be good for us to ponder the potential results of the many things that the deacons do, and so many things that you could take advantage of as either a participant or a recipient. What might be the impact of serving at the soup kitchen, or driving someone to a needed doctor appointment, or donating a coat, or maybe a pint of blood? What might be the intended and unintended results of being involved in people's lives? C.S. Lewis once wrote, "There are no ordinary people. You've never talked to a mere mortal. Nations, cultures, arts, civilizations, these are mortal. And their life is to ours as the life of a gnat. But it is immortals whom we joke with, work with, marry, snub, and exploit. And may I add, love and care about. It is we who need each other. It is the stories of our lives that are going to change the world. It's no wonder that when we think of the Bible, rarely do our minds go to the list of begats and chronicles or the sacrificial requirements of Leviticus. For most of us, it's the stories that Jesus tells, the parables, the ways that he healed people, or the great Old Testament stories of faithfulness that we remember. And with so many of these stories, they had to do with ways in which Jesus approached people exactly where they were and how they needed to be approached at that time. and the unintended results of them being in the right place at the right time that caused their lives to be changed. It is to suggest that if there is anything eternal, if there is anything that is lasting, it is found in people's lives, because that is where God's healing love occurs. And where God's healing love occurs, there are always unintended results. The results of those actions are felt far beyond Scripture. I suppose then it comes as no surprise that when questioned about the greatest of all the commandments, Jesus chooses not to focus on lists or rules or making sure that he was right about something, but rather simplifies our understanding to loving God and loving our neighbor. On this, he says, on these two commandments hang all the law and all the prophets. It seems that with Jesus that in any given situation, every law one can imagine needs to be consistent with the law of love. Because if we operate within a law of love, it will bring about unintended results. Things will inevitably happen that we cannot foresee and we certainly cannot expect. It's such a consistent message that Jesus brings to the religious leaders of his day, and maybe one that we need to hear this day. Life is not simply about following a list of rules and regulations. It's about loving God and about loving our neighbors. All other things will not stand up to the test of time. All other things will someday pass, but it is the stories that will remain. And maybe even more than that, those glimpses of ways that God is working that we never even thought of or intended to happen by our actions. Might it be good for us to consider that in whatever we do, whatever way we occupy our time, however we direct our abilities, wherever we commit our finances, whatever energy we may give over to meetings and programs and activities and committees and budgets, whatever conversation and debate we might have about what is right and what is wrong, whatever temptation that we might have to judge this person or that person or this nation or that nation or this culture or that culture, might we be good to remember that there may be little of what we do with any of that that will be remembered, other than the stories of God's healing love, other than when we pursued the call of God to bring healing love into the lives that God has called us to, when the hungry one came and we gave him food, when the thirsty one came and we gave her drink, when the stranger walked in and we welcomed him, when the naked one appeared and we clothed him, when we heard of the sick one and we ministered to her, when we learned of the prisoner and we visited him. It seems to me that these are the stories that will stand the test of time. And these are the stories that will have intended and unintended results. There was a Presbyterian minister and the host of the famous children's program, the Mr. Rogers Show, Reverend Fred Rogers, who once said, "When I was a little boy and something bad happened in the news, my mother would tell me, 'Look for the helpers. You'll always find people helping.' And I found out that that's true. In fact, it's one of the best things about our wonderful world." So I wonder, what would the law of love have you do in so complex and precarious and such a fateful world? How can you best serve in love the best interests of your family, your neighbor, yourself, and your God? You know, there's no book to look the answers up in. There's only your own heart, and whatever by God's grace it is picked up in the way of insight and honesty and courage and humility and maybe above everything else, compassion and love. It may not be the best thing about our world, but it is the only result that will be remembered. Amen.